This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is your brother Bono Muhammad coming at you with another episode of Hangout, where we hang out. And I have another great, interesting guest with us today here, Sheikh Riyad Arzazi. Salaam alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salaam. How's everything? Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Beautiful to have you here with us. I have a really interesting topic for you today, and this is one that has really been kind of in the back of my mind. Here in Canada, there's been a very hot topic which has been discussed, which is children's education, in particular sex education. Okay, there's a new bill that's being passed now that is basically trying to implement teaching sexual education to children at a much younger age, and in fact, including a lot of terminology that maybe we wouldn't have learned about maybe until we got a lot older. And so there's a lot of discussion right now as to how do we teach children about sex, and obviously Islam has its own parameters around sexuality, around genders, but the question still remains, because I know for myself, as a young Muslim, I didn't really get the talk, you know what I'm saying? My parents never really talked to me about sex. It's something that's kind of like aib, you know, most of us, we don't really talk about it in our homes. But how would you suggest Muslims bring up this topic, and how do we talk about sex with our kids?
Right, well, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, rasulullah. I'll tell you, it's maybe even harder for me or for someone who has kids and who has a teenager. You know, I have like two teenagers now, alhamdulillah, and you know, and a top and a 7 year old. And these now it becomes really challenging when you know they're gonna, by nature, they're curious. You know, when you have a teenager, you know, it's the time to talk about girlfriends, boyfriends, sex, and things like that. In my time, like your time, I don't know, I mean, I'm way like twice your age, but there was no internet, right? And like you said, you know, my parents would never talk to me about something called sex. Like, it's, hey, I remember one time I only had like a postcard that has a man and woman. That's all. There's nothing like a man and woman hugging, and I got a beating for that. You know, now you have these things on the internet, you know, just like you go in the touch of a button, then you have all the, it was not like, you know, like that at the time. And for me to know about sex, you know, it's just from, you know, through schools in my time, you know, the friends and whatnot. But now it's more challenging, you know, especially for us living in the West, and you have kids. And then now on top of that, they're coming with this bill that, you know, they're going to start teaching something more explicit to our kids. And here's the thing. The thing is, subhanAllah, you know who's making more noise? Not the Muslims. The Muslims are kind of not quiet about it so much, but the non-Muslims are the ones who are making a lot of noise, you know, a lot of demonstrations and things and whatnot, writing that, you know, and they're not, this is not right. They're saying this is not right. How can you people teach such a thing to our kids? So here are the Canadian government, the Canadian, you know, population that are coming and saying it's totally wrong. I heard from one of my friends and colleagues who says he went, he was born here and went to school here. And he says when he went to high school, they were teaching them things about, the teacher would bring in condoms and say, let me teach you how to.
Okay. Bring a condom
don't fool yourselves. He says, don't fool yourselves. This is what goes on. And this was a long time ago. He says, this is now. I'm sure there's a lot more. When a teacher would bring in, you know, to tell you, let me tell you what this is and how to use it. So they're becoming so open. So I would not be surprised when they come to tell you about some filthy things, you know, and teach that to our kids. So, and some, and here's the other problem is sometimes when you want to talk about these things, come some, you know, uncle or auntie who says, hey, I mean, that's back home. I'm telling you, when you mentioned, even imagine, last time I mentioned something about menses, and some people got upset. Said, we were here with our kids, how can you talk about menses? I say, wake up and smell what you need to smell. They're talking about sex education, they're going to teach your kid and my kid, and now you're, you know, you're feeling bad because I mentioned menses. And see, there's something in the Quran. So we need to deal with these issues, you know. We need to be open to these issues. And I'm an advocate of befriending our kids. from the very beginning. So it becomes that type of bonding. So when you want to talk about these topics, it becomes sort of easy. Not like you've been away from your, you know, children, not kind of friends with your children. And it becomes kind of like awkward when you want to talk about sex with them. You say, we're not even friends, and your children don't even trust you. They don't even have a good conversation with you because you're never there, right, kind of thing, you know. And then when you want to talk about such a topic, it becomes like, no, I'd rather have somebody else talk to them about it. So I say, yes, we need to talk to our children about these things. We need to inform them about these things, and we need to take some stance. Really, we need to take some stance in many ways. As a father, I do have the right to go to that school and say, I don't want my kid to participate, you know, whenever there's an event or there's an instance or there's some sort of, because you can tell, you can go and tell them, right, I need to know when you guys will be teaching this and that, so that, you know, I can choose to have my son not go to that particular session when they will be teaching about these things. But there's only so much you could do, you know. So we need to be upfront, we need to be more open to talk to our kids about such, you know, these things. And we need, you know, this thing about aib, I think it's about time that we need to be more open and leave the aib and la haya'a fi din, although it's not a hadith that says la haya'a fi din, there is no shame in terms of deen. You know, it's not a hadith, but the meaning of it is true, that when you talk about something, you know, about the deen, yes, you need to talk about, you know, sex, you know, especially when your kids reach a certain age, you need to educate them before. You see, akhi, if you don't tell them, I'm sure they would know. They will know either through the internet now, or through the friends, or through street, or through, yeah, akhi, sometimes you drive, I tell you. You drive and you just stop at the red light, and here's a bus next to you with a picture, a billboard. Yeah, I mean, you cannot hide your children. Here's a billboard with some guy hugging a girl and kissing and whatnot. So what can you do? Yeah. Talk to your children.
So do you think the parent themselves actually has to have that conversation to explain to them, you know, the intricacies of male body parts and female body parts? Is this something that the parent actually has to do?
For me, the parents have to be more open with their kids to talk to them about their, of course, there are certain limits. You're not going to go to that very, very details.
Right, right, right.
But yes, the body parts. Right. You know, you have to talk to your children about as they start growing, that listen, you know, as little girls, I'd rather have a girl talking, you know, mom talking to the girl, and the boy talking to his dad, right? There's more of respect in that sense, you know, like my daughter and myself, maybe she would feel shy. I almost feel kind of embarrassed, but first, we have to have an understanding between the father and the mother.
Right.
To come to a sort of like, okay, understanding, this is what we need to do. So have a plan. Once we have that plan, that we go and implement that plan. You know, talking to our children, you know, befriend them, bond with them, date your children. Really, date them, yeah, and take them out, you know, like today is me and my son on an outing together. So we build that friendship, that trust. Once I build that trust with him, he will listen. She will listen. And then from there on, let's talk about school. Let's talk about friends. He's growing. He's going to have questions. And then from there on, he's going to talk about the changes of the body. You know, mashallah. You can just throw it like that. Oh, mashallah, mashallah. You can see some hair growing now. You know, the hair is growing.
Right.
It means his body's changing.
Right.
And then you can start talking about, you know, these changes.
So you think a good age would be roughly around puberty then?
Around puberty. Yeah, around puberty.
Okay, and you were mentioning this, but it's true that, you know, we live in a hyper-sexualized society where just turning on the TV or just, you know, walking across the street, the billboards you see, the images of sex that are literally plaguing our eyes everywhere
Absolutely.
We go. And so our kids actually know about sex maybe a lot earlier, sooner than they should.
Some they do actually know more than you do. You'd be surprised, really. And you cannot, you can't hide. You
right.
can just go and you think. Because some parents, they still are totally oblivious. They think that my kids don't know. They think that my kids are, mashallah, like, you know, angels on earth. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Your kids, they know. Maybe inside, you know, in front of you, they feel like, okay, shy and whatnot. They know. You live in Canada. You live in the West. You live in America. You live in England. And you have now something called internet. You may be, you know, at home, have some sort of authority as to what they can see and what they cannot see. It's fine. But if you send them out, their school, their friends, there are a lot of things. So you only have certain limits to what can, you know, you can sort of force on them and not force on them. So yes, I'd rather that come from me than having them to hear it from a friend or from TV or from, you know, school or the internet or whatnot. I'd rather me opening up to them and then opening up to me so that we can have that intelligent, friendly, you know, sort of discussion.
Okay, now here's a scenario for you, okay? Now, you said you have, you know, young children, teenage-age children. Imagine, okay, mm-hmm. one of your children comes to you and says, Bubba, I want to have a boyfriend. Or Bubba, I want to have a girlfriend. All right? I mean, they're around, maybe non-Muslims, they go to school, oh, just like man. Regular kids. So they see what's happening there, they see what's happening on TV, they say, Bubba, I want to have that. Well, what would you do?
Well, in fact, it did happen to me.
Really?
I mean, it was like a test. You know, with my son, when he says, Dad, what would you do if you know that I have a girlfriend? You know, he's just, what would you do? My daughter, when, you know, now she's 16, mashallah, when he said, I'm already married. She said, you're already married? I said, yeah, I'm married four. Who are you four? You know, One Direction. What do you mean One Direction? La ilaha illallah, One Direction. So I went to Bradford one day.
Okay.
You know, and I said, she said, Dad, don't you know this guy? Are you going to Bradford? Don't you know this guy? What guy? Zayn, whatever he's said. Yeah. And I said, is this like a new imam or a new muqri? Don't you know this Zayn? I said, what masjid does he go to? Is he a leader? Zayn Malik, One Direction, you know. She's already married.
Allah,
so I'm telling you some things like, maybe the viewers will say, oh, the sheikh, you know, his children, you know, but wondering what not. Wake up and smell what you need to smell. So this is why you need to be very close and not with your children. So, you know what? This is why you need that relationship, to talk to them, you know. I'm sure he does not have a girlfriend, but he just tried to test me, you know, saying, what would you do if I were to have a girlfriend or know that I know I have a girl? In fact, he came to tell me, seriously. Mm-hmm. He says, well, I heard that there were some girls who want to ask me out. Mm-hmm. What I heard, what? I mean, things like that. So what would you do? You know, says, and Omar, what would you do now? Mm-hmm. And this is where you need to connect them with Allah. You need to connect them with the names of Allah. You need to connect them that Allah is Ar-Raqib. I may not be here. Thank you. You see, in fact, that is very good when he's coming to tell you things like that. Because if he did not trust you, he wouldn't talk to you.
Mm.
If he didn't trust you, he would not come to tell you, what would you do if I have a girlfriend? He would just go and have a girlfriend and be it.
Right.
Nobody would. So you teach them, Allah is watching. Allah is Ar-Raqib. He's hearing. He's watching you. I may not be here. You may fool me. I may trust you. You're right, but then you go behind me. You can take off your hijab behind me, and you go out and hold hands. And then when you come home, you're all that, you know, innocent Muslimah, and nobody knows. Now, I'd rather have that conversation from them, and you tell them about Allah, you tell them about halal, you tell them about haram. If you want to do it, this is what happens when people do some haram things, and you tell them about adultery and whatnot, and what can happen, and you can tell about the diseases. You know, a little bit about scaring them, and also at the same time tell them what happened, and tell them about, you know, the virtues of doing halal and what can happen if you were to do haram. And would you want to do it? You know, would you want your sister to go out with somebody? What would you do? Like that man who came to the Prophet, a young guy, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I want to do adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Prophet asked him a question. So this guy asked a question, the Prophet answered with a question. Would you want somebody to do it to your sister, to your daughter, to your mother?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, Omar, my son, you know, you want to have a girlfriend, you know, do haram. Would you want somebody to go out with your sister? How about when you grow up and have a daughter? How about your own mother? No. Okay, well, why do you want to do it with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, akhi, you know, mm-hmm. to open up again and talk to them.
SubhanAllah. It's interesting you mentioned that because, like we're saying, you know, sex is something that's rampant. And whether we acknowledge it or not, it does affect Muslim homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our children are watching things on TV just like everybody else's kids. But another issue that definitely is a hot topic and definitely we know is plaguing many of our families, many of our homes, is the issue of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, taking these movies and TVs we see on TV a next step, a step further, where now, you know, you have, you know, full-on nudity and people engaging in sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our youth are addicted.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a reality that many of us can't ignore as much as we may try.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is plaguing a lot of, you know, our youth's social time, and it's a thing that they're doing secretly at home, you know, when the door's closed and nobody's around. And it's something that we see now even having effects on married people. So
yeah,
married couples, you know what I'm saying? They're,
yeah.
The husbands are not finding the same pleasure in their sexual life because of this side activity that they're engaging themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a counselor. I know you deal with families. I'm sure this is something you've dealt with and heard about before. What are your thoughts around that issue, specifically around pornography?
Allah, it's becoming, like you said, it's really a dilemma. And it's something really that is, some people may say, is it happening within the Muslims? It is really happening a lot. And and within the Muslim communities. You'd be surprised to know that Islamway.com, which is a very well-known website, they did a survey, and they in that survey about how many people access these X-rated sites, and they found a really like a scary result that. Lot of like over 50%, about 70 to 80% of youth are accessing these X-rated websites, and a lot of 50% are Muslims. This is coming from Islamway.com. You know, Muslims accessing this X-rated website, and who goes to Islamway anyways? Islamway, is a good Islamic website. So a Muslim, maybe I would say a Muslim who's a practicing Muslim.
But these are the results of the practicing.
These
Muslims.
Are the reason of the practice. How about non-practicing Muslims? Accessing this X-rated website. So it is becoming like a plague, and with the internet, everything is passed on the internet. The internet is all there. That is why, we need to be really careful in our homes, what we bring in, what we don't bring in. Even when you introduce the internet to your home, there are certain, filters that you can, there's only so much you can do. But I think the best education that starts talking about school and whatnot is home education. Is the, you are the first educator, to your kids. Not talking about going, taking them to an Islamic school and whatnot. The primary educator is the father and the mother. Allah will hold us responsible about our obligations towards our kids. So yes, again, about opening up to our kids, talking to them about it, and there's a lot of things that we can't hide from, like you said, pornography. Even husbands now, here's the problem. A husband who goes and they're addicted to, wallahi, husbands who have kids addicted to these X-rated sites, and now they don't look at the wife the same way they were looking at them before. Why? Because it's a sickness. They need therapy. They need sessions of therapy because they've been, their eyes have become so filthy watching these, women and X-rated things. So when he comes home, here's the thing. Either he does not look at his wife the same way he used to look at her before, or he expects his wife to do things that he was watching in those movies and those sites. So what happens? The wife does not know. He expects her either to know, or if the wife tries to learn and do things and whatnot, some of the community say, who told you this? Or how did you know about this? And then comes another big problem. Oh, you must have been going out with others before you married me and whatnot. It's a big dilemma. That it requires, sessions of, counseling.
How does somebody, say somebody is addicted to pornography, or they're addicted to masturbation, or they're addicted to, this kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I know it's a big question, but how does somebody escape from it? How does somebody,
It's not like a one thing, here, let me give you a pill, Tylenol, you have headache, take Tylenol. Mm. It's not like a one thing. There's a lot of things, it's a therapy, it's a sessions of therapy, somebody who's been eating, junk food for years, and now he wants to lose weight. Well, you've been eating junk food for so many years, it's not going to be like, and then you'd be, mashallah, six pack. So likewise, this guy's been watching and got addicted to this X-rated stuff for I don't know how long, and now we need him to, just like an addiction, you've been drugged, there's a drug, problem here, so we need to take that person out from drug. What do? We take that person into that, sessions of therapy that may take months, that may take years, but first we take that person out from that environment. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it's going to be really hard. Because that person would have that craving, that person. But come out from that environment and busy your time doing things so that when you come home, you have no time to go and look at that stuff. You're home, you're tired, you go straight to bed and sleep. So busy yourself. Don't stay by yourself because oftentimes when you're alone, this is where the shaitan comes in. And then you just go, even if you don't want to, but you're alone, you'll wind up, So try to busy your time. Try to be with the family. Try to avoid being alone during that steps when you're in there under that healing process until you're, able to sort of like walk on your
own. I've also heard good advice that people should leave computers in open places. So a lot of times for young people have, their own computer, if you know that there's an issue, that you should place computers in a common area.
I have that actually at home.
Is it? Okay.
Well, the computer that we have, it's in the family room.
Right.
Exactly. It's in the kitchen. We have a family room right there.
Right.
That's where the computer is. So if my children, whatnot, they want to use it, it's there. So at least it's a
word. No, that's good. I think there does need to be. I know some parents maybe feel a little bit shy. They don't want to invade in their children's
privacy. We're not invading, but at least you know you need to monitor to a certain extent. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like micromanaging, yeah, but at least the computer is there. Even if I'm not there, you know, they will understand that, okay, you know, again, education, Allah is watching. I may not be there, but Allah is watching. Right. So you do what you can and leave the rest up to Allah.
Speaking of education, one of the things that is kind of the result of this now phenomenon we see with this bill trying to be passed into Parliament around sex education in public schools is that a lot of parents are now trying to explore the option of Islamic school. Mm. So, you know, now they're getting scared. They're like, oh, we leave our kids in public school. We don't know what's going to happen to them. Mm. And so now Islamic schools slowly have becoming a lot more popular in the discourse around this particular topic of children's education. Yeah. One of the issues that people have with Islamic schools, and I'm sure you know this, I'm just kind of explaining it, is that some people feel as though Islamic schools are not up to par.
That's right.
So they feel as though the education quality my child is going to be receiving in an Islamic school mm-hmm. is not as good as what you'd be receiving in a public school.
True.
But at the same time, a lot of parents of us, you know, children who go to Islamic schools feel like, I would rather give my children maybe, quote unquote, a subpar education, but ensure that Islamically they're being looked after.
Yeah.
So there's kind of these two wings that are kind of going back and forth. What is your take on this particular issue, and what's a good way to make
it? It's a very good question, because we have to deal with this thing. So here's the thing with Islamic schools. There are a lot, you mentioned, number one, you know, they're not up to par. You know, a lot of them, realistically, yes, you know, they're not as professional as non-Muslim schools, as public schools. A lot of teachers who teach in those Islamic schools are also not, you know, well educated. Well, I wouldn't say well educated, but qualified.
Qualified in the Western sense.
They're not qualified to teach certain topics. I visited some Islamic schools myself, and I've seen that with my own self. You know, the mannerism and lack of a lot of, you know, Muslim school, but it just with the title. I'm not against Muslim school, but I'm just talking about if we can have really professional. High standard, you know, Muslim schools. And here's the other problem about Islamic schools. Not only that they're not, a lot of them are not up to par, and which is true, but also financially, a lot of parents cannot afford to send their kids to, you know, Islamic schools, especially those who have 2, 3, 4 kids. You know, mashallah, we Muslims. You know, the Chinese come and see the Muslim schools, you know, Muslim children, families. A lot of Muslim families, mashallah, we only drive, you know, the minivans. Why we drive minivans? We have kids. A lot of kids. So here you have 4 or 5 kids, mashallah, 3 kids. Yeah. You go to Islamic school, you're talking about $400 to $500. Yeah. Who can afford to pay $2,000
a month? That's a mortgage in itself.
So we need to talk about the reality. The reality is, yes, okay, Muslim school. Number one, is it really a solution? Number two, can I afford that Muslim school? Mm. You know, realistically speaking, a lot of Muslims who live, let's say here in the West, cannot afford, you know, Muslim schools. So they wind up taking their kids to public schools. But here, Brother Buna, again, we come back to the same thing. The thing is, the education starts from home. Mm. You send your kid to a Muslim school, right? And you think he's going to come back as Adam. Or Iman. Or La, Muslim school, it just does a job. They teach you from the same curriculum, just that they do their filtering and they add in an Islamic education. That's what they do. Right. You know, if there's a sex education, they choose not to teach it. Okay, that's good. And then they teach in Islamic, you know, content, and they include that in. This is what an Islamic school is. And then also the environment. But I don't want to tell you things that I've seen in Islamic schools, high schools, and they don't think that, you know, they're free from drugs or boyfriends and girlfriends. Realistically speaking, the same thing do exist in some Islamic schools. I'm a counselor, and I've seen things, and people came to me, and I don't want to just paint it as it's all beautiful. We need to talk about the reality.
Realistically.
So the other thing is when the mom does not wear hijab, the father doesn't pray, he takes his kid to Islamic school. They teach them about salah. They teach them about hijab. The guy goes back home, he gets confused. Here I am learning about hijab. My mother drives me, she doesn't even wear hijab. My father, you know, he doesn't pray. I'm learning about salah. We confuse our own kids. So here's the double standards, right? The double standards. So are these Muslim schools the real, you know, the solution? Yes, no, it's another, you know, topic on its own. Right. So it's...
Just to maybe take it to a different direction. So within the public school sphere, there's also the idea of Catholic schools. Which is, you know, a semi-religious environment.
Yeah.
Actually, my mother went to a Catholic school in Ethiopia. That was one of the options. They didn't really have, you know, Islamic schools at that time, but Catholic schools were open. My mother went to a very, very well, well-established Catholic school. What are your thoughts on that, Muslims? Because actually, I visited a Catholic school before. I did some workshops there, and I was surprised to see some Muslim kids inside the class. And I was like, "What are you guys doing here?"
Well, you know what? I'll surprise you. I went to a Catholic school when I was a kid. You know, in Morocco, we have a lot of Catholic. I mean, Morocco is was dominated by the French,
right?
So we have that French sort of a lot. Even the business there, the business language is French. So we have lots of, you know, we call them. The schools, mostly it's elementary schools,
right,
run by les pères and les mères or les sœurs, you know, the fathers,
right,
or by the those sisters, the nuns.
The nuns, right. Okay.
So I went to these schools, you know, up until I was about 10 or 12 years old.
Wow.
So here's the thing, and it was like French schools. They teach you, they have, of course, Arabic, and there's an Islamic education part, you know, like what they teach you. But the
Catholic education?
Yeah, yeah. No, not Catholic, Islamic. Oh. They don't teach you Catholicism there.
Oh.
It just, you know, it's a school, and they do. They have their own prayers and whatnot, but we as students or pupils at the time,
right,
we do not participate in what they, what they do. So here now, in the West... can our kids, because of the problems that we see in public schools, and maybe if I cannot afford to send my kids to an Islamic school, is Catholic school maybe an option? Catholic high school, you know, mostly like high school Catholic schools. Well, if I did my research on these Catholic schools, and yes, there are a lot of Muslims, hijabis, and what they go to Catholic schools.
Yeah.
So the Catholic schools, they tend to be, in fact, more conservative.
Right.
This, with regard to the sex education program that we're talking about here, this bill, it will not be enforced in the Catholic schools.
Right. Actually, a lot of Catholic schools are all girls' schools, all boys' schools. Some of them are segregated.
Absolutely. Right. So, you know, I'm for it. Before, I mean, I did my research, I would say no. But now that I did my research, now I want to talk about the less evil or whatnot. But if I were to, you know, choose between public and Catholic, I would say Catholic, but here there are certain restrictions or conditions. During their, you know, they do their
the
mass and whatnot.
Yeah.
The Muslims, they don't have to go.
Right.
You know, right? You don't have to go. You know, I even spoke to the principal himself, whatnot, at what board. So if a Muslim who goes here, if they choose not to go, they don't want to go. I'm bringing my kid, for instance, because this is a conservative school, and I'm a conservative, you know, I come from a conservative family, but I do not want my kid to, you know, participate in this particular prayer. So that's an option, you know.
So Islamically,
may talk to somebody else who would say no haram and whatnot. People will have their own, you know, differences of opinions. But here, let's look at, you know, the pros and cons,
right?
You know, at least, you know, you don't have things about drugs and boyfriends and girlfriends. Even the uniforms that they wear,
right,
you know, in Catholic schools. It's not like high, you know, those very skinny...
Well, some are a little bit... Some schools are a little bit funny.
Oh, really? Even Catholic?
Yeah, Catholic in summertime.
We used to
see some funny things in my day. But you're right. Generally speaking, there's a uniform that...
There's some conservatism in there, right?
Right.
And they teach you only certain things, and then you don't have to participate with the mass and things like that. So I would prefer, if I were to choose between that or public school, and where I was told, wallahi, I was told that in some public schools, and I wouldn't be surprised if all the public schools are the same, the teachers, the language some of the teachers use, is like a swearing language.
In public school.
In the school, in the class.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I went to public school.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to hear
In the class.
In the class. Sometimes you'll hear it. I mean, it's definitely something that people... But I think that the thing that we were speaking about even the guy who grew up in Canada and learning about, you know, sex from the school. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that I learned in school that definitely I wouldn't want my kids to learn.
Absolutely.
You know? And a lot of times I think our parents kind of dropped us here and they didn't have the experience of the country that now we have. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of getting a better idea of what's happening here that maybe, you know... So I think there's a really interesting conversation. I think there's a lot of conversations our community needs to have around this topic, around education, and around the idea of sex and sex education, and also pornography. I mean, we touched on it very lightly, but it is a huge issue. But definitely, I want to thank you for your time, Sheikh. It was very much an honor of having you here.
Absolutely.
We really benefited from your knowledge. Jazakallah khair. And Jazakallah khair for everybody watching. Make sure you stay involved by checking out the hashtag Hangout Show. Get involved. Let us know what you think about the topic. If there's anything you wanted to add, you can always check out the hashtag and join in the conversation there. Jazakallah khair for watching, everyone. We'll see you next episode. This is Brother Bon Muhammad signing off. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي